keep in mind, this is just the first lap in what is going to be a much longer triathlon. But you always look for, indicators as to whether you're on track or off track. And these numbers clearly show we are on track. The good news is that the government, looking at the first 6 months of this fiscal year compared to the last 6 months, the first 6 months of the same time period of the year before.
Right.
We hired this year 32,789 vets, and that was compared to 30,165 from last year, for an increase of 2,600, or a 3.5% increase. Now, the other good news in that, Chris, is during the same time period, we actually hired less federal employees in the first 6 months of this year. So with a smaller pool, we produced larger absolute numbers.
Wow.
Which is really impressive. And so it shows that all of the agencies are taking the president's executive order extremely seriously. We had four that were especially did a great job, agriculture and treasury especially. The VA, of course, continues to play a leadership role, as does the Department of Defense. But it's good, Chris, in that it is consistent across the government. Every agency has stepped up. They've really done a great job on this.
Well, I know one of the things that I hear from a lot of vets groups is that most of that hiring has been in VA and DOD, obviously. But there are opportunities for other agencies.
Well, and that's what this initiative is focused on, Chris, was we knew sort of, where this started was that the president was concerned with the high unemployment rate our men and women who were coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan were facing. And so we knew we had a good track record in DOD and VA, but it was the civilian side of the house we wanted to pick the pace up on. And what is the other bright cloud or the bright ray of sunshine here, Chris, is that, all of the civilian agencies are part of this increase. Like I said, Treasury and Agriculture had a significant bump. Treasury had over 100, an increase of 100 vets hired over that same time period. So what's great is the civilian side is stepping up on this. And there's one other bright spot in these numbers, Chris, and that is looking at disability hires.
Yeah.
Is that over the same time period, we moved the numbers on disabled vets as well. And the increase, same period of time, 1,800 more disabled vets hired, in that time period. So,
And is there something that USDA and Treasury are doing that enables them to move down that line, make those improvements that would be helpful for other agencies?
Well, it's the most important thing, and it's one that all the agencies have done, and that is, for the first time, Chris, each agency has put in place a full-time veterans program officer. Mm. Up till now, especially in the civilian agencies, it's kind of been collateral duty, or it's the third or fourth thing put on somebody's plate. For the first time ever, really, the president's executive order asked each agency to stand up a full-time person, and that has now happened. All 24 of the major executive agencies have a full-time veterans program officer, and what we've tried to do with them, Chris, it's been exciting, is build sort of an esprit de corps. We've done training with them together so they get to know one another, because really what is making this program work is it's a network, a communications network. And just like headhunting firms, find good talent and get people into jobs, they do it by having a connective network.
You get LinkedIn.
And this is LinkedIn for vets.
Yeah. So
that's a good way to describe it, Chris.
And the other thing that's sometimes easy to forget is these are people who have been trained to be leaders. And most of these vets, I mean, they're doing, God's work, but, I mean, they've had to be leaders.
Chris, I couldn't agree with you more. We use actually the term VET as an acronym for valued, experienced, and trained.
Yeah.
You know, they have done more for our country than we can ever repay, and they have developed amazing skills while they're doing it. You know, just because they take off the uniform doesn't mean they don't want to continue to serve their country. And so that's why this program is aimed at those who want to continue in public service. You know, they can continue that effort, and we can provide those opportunities for them. And so good news on this. And then the final piece on it, Chris, is, you know, how do we ensure this keeps going? Because obviously one of the things that the White House was very pleased with these numbers, but it was, okay, you know, how do we make sure that people don't take their eye off the ball? And so the other important...
You've done great work, but what have you done for me lately?
And what are you going to continue to do as they should? And so yesterday, the Veterans Hiring Council, which represents all the agencies in the government, it's chaired by Secretary Shinseki and Secretary Solis at Labor. I'm kind of the COO of the council, if you will. Yesterday, the council put in place a new accountability model that will govern the coming fiscal year. So it'll start October 1, you know, with the federal year. And what we did, Chris, was we broke this into, rather than sort of have one size fits all, we broke it in. If you were an agency that was already like DOD or VA and you're doing a great job, if you're hiring above 25% of your hires, you're already vets, keep up the good work. You know, just stay in that game. If you're in the mid-ranges, you know, if you're between 10 and 25%, we're asking you to move up your pace. So anywhere between a 1 and a 4% target is your goal for this coming year. In other words, try to increase your percentage pace by that goal. Mm. If you're in the bottom tier, if you're below 10%, if you're a civilian agency that's under 10%, what we're going to ask you to break a sweat. We're going to ask you to do 5 to 6% increase in what you're hiring. And so we've met. The agencies adopted this as a strategy, as a way to hold everyone's feet to the fire and make sure that we can continue this forward progress. So we're not just trusting that the first year, Chris, how we did this, because, you know, we launched this, the year was already underway.
Yeah.
What we told folks was, look, do better. It was a pretty simple metric, you know. Do better than you did the year before. And the good news is that was done. Now that we're into this, we have a full year ahead of us. Okay, how are we going to hold ourselves to a goal target so we can be assured that these numbers will continue to be in the positive range? And that's what this program was adopted yesterday. So we put that in place, and the agencies know it. And I think the good faith, the goodwill is there. These are super trained people, and they can do a phenomenal job for us. That's why I know this is a win-win for the country.
And this comes on the heels of your announcement earlier this week that almost a midterm evaluation of your hiring reform measures has seen a lot of agencies all of a sudden not asking for multi-page KSAs, not asking for big, long resumes, actually making job announcements that people can make sense of. You're seeing a lot of progress there as well.
Absolutely. And I, again, just want to thank and congratulate each of the agencies for their incredible effort on the hiring reform goals that the president has put forward. We're a long way from the finish line, and that's another one that it's not like it's going to be done at you know, November 1st. The agencies are aware of the challenges in front of them. They're all working hard. We now have action plans for every agency. Those are on our website, so you can, you know, we're being trying to be very transparent. People can go on and see exactly how people are, you know, moving forward with this. And then we're just going to stay on this, Chris. We're going to be watching it. The chief human capital officers, in fact, a week from next week, are going to be gathering at a retreat. And the lead topic at the retreat is on these two topics. How do we keep the momentum moving forward on the hiring improvements, and what else can we do to assist in building these bridges of connectivity for our veterans.
One last thing, and then I'll let you go. We got to see each other, and before we started, we were teasing each other. It's been all of 2 days at the Service to America medals.
Absolutely.
The Sammies. And as you sit and listen to the work done by those eight remarkable people, nine people, eight awards, you just have to sit back and go, oh my goodness, these are the kinds of people, just remarkable work.
You know, Chris, the hats off to the partnership. They did a phenomenal job. They always do. They have a very, it's an exciting program that they award, and that program just allows us to highlight the work that federal employees do every day. You know, those people, I say, you know, your jaw falls open when you hear the amazing things that were accomplished. The gentleman, Pius Banning, who won from Homeland Security, who won the Distinguished Medal for the Federal Employee of the Year Award. You know, this is a guy who's after the earthquake in Haiti, was working 22 hours a day for, you know, 2 to 3 weeks at a time, because he knew any time he was sleeping, he was the only one who could sign visas so orphans could get out of the country and get to safety in the United States and be reunited with their other family members in the United States, so that they wouldn't face being abused or being neglected in the aftermath. And that is... that level of passion, Chris, is emblematic of the passion our civil servants carry forward every day in their jobs, whether it's risking their lives for their neighbors, whether it's trying to help people find work in this troubled economy, whether it's trying to open foreign markets so that, you know, our businesses can compete better. Federal employees are out there trying to make our country better. And, boy, that, you know... That I know every one of the Sammies, I think you heard it, they all got up there and said, you know, I have 100 other people who should be standing up here with me. And I know that, because that quality radiates throughout our entire civil service. And they really deserve our thanks and our honor.
And we always say, just do it. These are nine people who just did it. And often we all, in every part of the world, it can be challenging to get these things done. They just went out and got it done.
Well, and you know, this week coming up, Chris, is also our National Constitution Week. And it's an important time, I think, for all of us as Americans to appreciate that, you know, our Constitution, it isn't written anywhere that in stone that it will just naturally survive. It will only survive if Americans hold it dear, and if men and women of good hearts and good integrity will continue to support and defend it. And that's the solemn oath our federal civil servants take when they assume their responsibilities. I was honored yesterday to speak to a new class of senior executives who were being sworn in, 250 of them across the entire government. And, you know, I never hesitate to get a tear in my eye, Chris, when people take that oath, because you can see the seriousness and the purpose with which they do it. And I wish every American could have the opportunity to see what I've seen this week, because I think if they could, it would change the dialogue, Chris, about what people think of our public servants.